Blog Talk Radio.
You pay the night
Welcome, Rapture-Centric family. This is Jerry. I have a few things I want to catch up on, but I think the Lord told me that somebody would either get a word today or have a word for us. I'm not sure. We'll have to see how that works out. Let's pray to start off with. Father, thank you for this opportunity to share your word and your leading with all those who would come. Help us to receive it and pass it along faithfully as you would have it. We know you're with us every day, and we trust in your word for today. You will soon draw us out of all of these things that are to come. Guide us in this show and help us to do your work as you would. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I think I've got Tana. Tana, is that you?
Yes, it is. Hello.
Hi, Tana.
Hi.
Hey. When you say, I think when you say Jesus loves you, it sounds better than when I say it. Can you say that for us?
We love you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you. I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Tana. And I think that's good. Thank you. And then I think we've got Pat.
Hi, guys. How you doing? Yeah.
How are you today?
Good to hear your voice. Voices.
Yeah.
Love you.
Love you, sweetie.
Catch up a little bit.
Yeah.
See how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Can you be around for a while, Pat?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. I have one of two psalms that I've been kind of thinking we could go to, either Psalm 130 or Psalm, actually, let's do Psalm 95 a little later.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. And
you wanted a message?
I thought one of our Rapture-centric people might get a message, either for
I
us
have one.
Today. Really?
Yeah, this noon I was crying to him because I was looking at his picture. Don't cry. And I said, and he said, you will be with me soon. And I said, all of us? And he said, yes, trust me. Just like that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, because I was crying. Because I look at him. I have pictures like the, I have them on my cell phone, so I always take the cell phone, you know, it's attached to our hip. And I have the pictures like Achaean, you know, the Prince of Peace. So I just look at the picture and I cry because the loneliness is so great.
Yeah.
So how's he going to lie to me if I'm crying? Okay.
Wow.
Simple.
No. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
You're not alone with us, Pat. We love you so much.
Oh, I know, honey.
Mama,
I know. It's everybody. And
yeah.
I said, is that for all? He said, yes. He said, you will be with me soon. He said, and I said, all of us. He said, yes. He says, trust me. Just like that. That's all he said. That's all out of here. I didn't have to hear anything else.
Well, I have a little catching up to do with everybody, so I think you'll find that it ties in very nicely with that. And I think we may have Keith. Keith, is that you?
Hey, everybody. How's
it
going?
Hi, Keith. Good. I'm glad you could join us.
Hi, Keith.
Before you go to your service.
Hey, everybody.
Service tonight, Keith?
No, I didn't go last night because I just felt overwhelmed. It was so far away. And they wanted to pray in the middle of the service, and it was just too much to sit through that long service.
Yeah.
I wanted to do it at the end, and I tend to go to healing rooms. I don't like to be watch a
in
service
a
and go to the front. I don't know. I don't like it. It's embarrassing. I'm kind of shy in that sense. So it's okay because I've got Rob's coming over. I've got a healer on Sunday. Rob's going to come over, and I've got a couple more lined up for another guy's coming over tomorrow that came last week, and then I've got a couple more lined up this week. You know.
Great.
Keith, it sounds like what you sent me, what you're trying, these new things, I think this is really going to work. I really have a very good feel about it. I really
I do.
Too. I really
do. I know. The doctor is really good. I mean, he can look at 3D. He's a chemist, so he's not even a doctor. He's more than that. He can really determine what's going on. But more than, if he can get me on that silver and then I buy it, it's like $150, really expensive, but it'll be worth it if it can wipe stuff out and take away this,
If you need help with anything, ask the family to help you out with anything.
Yeah.
You know that. Don't be shy to ask, because we're blessed in helping you. So you give us, we get a blessing. You know, everyone gets a blessing. So, you know. So don't
just,
be shy to ask.
I just get frustrated because I just feel like, you know, I mean, don't know why God doesn't do a spiritual healing on me. You know,
he has his reasons.
He gives it to.
He has his reasons.
Also,
I went to a chiropractor just quick because I don't want to take the time. They took a strand of hair and they looked at the hair and he could tell a lot by the strand of hair of what was wrong with you. Everything, what was wrong with you. So have somebody do that.
Wow.
Well, this will be even more accurate, Pat, because he's going to actually see the live cells moving. He's actually going to watch it on a 3D screen and watch it move and see everything in the blood. I already know what he's going to find, but just my key is, like, the silver and the stuff that he can, you know, give me to take to stop this in its tracks. I don't have to live with it.
Right.
It's not something that you can live with, you know. It can take your life very easily.
You can't.
No. Either one of these things
are
like that. So, you know.
You need to have your strength and run around for the Lord preaching.
It's just... I spend one day recovering and then get hit again and spend another 2 days recovering. It's like a yo-yo.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So it's
offer
like,
it up. Just, Jesus, you're doing this. You know why you're doing this. You've heard my prayers. And I just accept your will. I thank you anyway because I gave it to you. And if I'm still like this, there's a reason that it's in your will that it's, you know, I'll understand it one day. So don't be frustrated or upset. You know, just accept it. Some people like the suffering because they united to the cross of Christ and his sufferings to ease him. So just say, Jesus, I give you my sufferings to ease yours.
Yeah.
And you can do this for the conversion of souls. You know, a little prayer like that. So nothing is wasted in anything we go through in the day. Everything is used. Everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
I know that I want to do more for the kingdom.
And he will provide that for you.
Yeah.
You might be doing it from a cloud, you know?
Actually, that's funny, Pat, because that actually ties in with one of the things I think I'm going to talk about today. But because I had a dream where I was in an airplane, but I need to explain. I need to set that up a little bit.
Pretty up there in an airplane with all the clouds.
Keith, I think that's really interesting. I've had a few experiences where it has really been brought to my attention that, you know, standard medicine, while it has its place, is really, really built on symptomology, symptoms people have.
Of course.
And sometimes science does slip through the cracks. And so
a lot of the
time. Fact that's I'm trying to be kind. I don't want to keep somebody from going to a doctor, but
that's horrible. Doctors are horrible. I'll just tell everybody, doctors are horrible. They're like next to Satan. They're his best friend. They're just making profit off of people's health. They don't
them
care.
And lawyers.
Doctors don't care. If you looked at every hospital, how many people died went to those hospitals, they'd be shocked.
You can't profit off people being sick.
That is not of God. That is not of God.
You know,
you can't profit off someone
doctors,
being sick.
Doctors are incredibly like pastors. They can only teach what they've been taught. They can only use the information they've been given. And so many pastors come out of seminaries that really don't embrace
healing
a lot of what carries people forward in their faith. And
seen that with all the times we've gone through.
I think doctors are in a similar situation where the system that they are trained within is
limited.
It's weak on science. I mean, I had something come up more than 6 months ago, and the doctor gave me a couple of medications for it at the same time. And I found out that recently I started doing some other things and taking some other nutrients and things, and I improved the situation naturally. And And in the process, I was able to start reducing the medication because I'm actually doing it in concert with him. And we've talked about a couple of things. And I was finally able to get all the way off one of the two, which were sort of suspect. And I got better, including my symptoms. What I was taking the medicine for got better when I got off of that particular medicine.
Of course.
So
I'm all about natural things. I think I encourage
people
to take natural things. I know a lot about natural things. So I never push doctors. No, everyone comes to me for advice. I can tell them what to take for natural things and usually get them healed just off of herbs and different things. After 4.5 years, I've become a full-on expert. Doctors just shut their mouth and listen to me because he said, you already know all this stuff. I said, it's round in circles, round in circles. Yeah, you know, so I push natural things because I think they're from God's earth and they don't have the side effects and all that stuff, you know. But I'm just surprised with all the world that we live in. You can tell we're in the end times because there was more healers for God in the world in the 50s than there is with 7 billion people on Earth. Where are the
good point. Yeah, where are they? You know, I'll tell you where I think they are. I think it's Jesus working directly in people's lives in places that we don't hear about. I think God is intervening directly, and both in terms of their faith knowledge as well as their physical well-being. I think he's marching around the world with his power, but it's in a manner and in places that we never hear it reported, or very rarely do. I think he's working mightily in the what I'll call the sheltered populations of the Muslim world, and Asia and China and places like that. I think he's working very powerfully directly in their lives because as we've seen, being aware and open, I think we've seen evil start to kind of march forward, and that's what we see in our news headlines and everything when we have discernment. But I also think that door opened both ways, and it also means God is working very powerfully and probably more so than what we're used to seeing also. And
if you're Muslim, Jesus will appear in the flesh. My brother and
that's
our running joke. Kendall say, there's a healing. I said, is she Hindu? He'll yell across the room, oh, yeah, Hindu. I said, okay, there you go. I just kind of crossed it off like, okay, that didn't count. Because if you're Hindu, Jesus and all the angels will show up on the spot. If you're Muslim, him and all of them. The whole kingdom will show up. One woman was worshiping false gods. Jesus still showed up and was helping her out.
Yeah,
I was like,
sure.
He's
merciful.
I'm no authority on this, but what I have heard about the basic Arabic culture in the Middle East is that it's based on hospitality, and the head of the house takes responsibility for the well-being and safety of their guests. And it's an extremely, when they're not driven, in radical aspects or they're at war with each other, the basic tradition of Arabic culture is actually very benign. And the people who live like that or even the people who've successfully intermixed with the Israeli population over millennia in the Middle East. No matter where you're from, your culture down to your physical being has been corrupted with evil in some way or another. And that's the battle we all face. But I think God is moving really powerfully, and, we receive it, and we've seen it here, there's no question, on a regular basis. But we hear about it because we're talking to each other and living in it and living in faith. In fact, speaking of that, I got a chance. I didn't get to hear all of last night's program. By the way, I should explain. Last night, I threw Carol off because I called in at the beginning of the show and did not press 1. But it put me on the call doc anyway, and I didn't know it. So I didn't have my phone muted. So those three notes you heard when she went to the phone was me. What you actually heard was the first three notes of the program I was going to being played by a flute. she timed it perfectly, but totally caught me by surprise. So I texted her during the show and apologized because I had no idea I was going to show up in the call.
That's okay.
Just to explain, Carol did very nicely with it. But I was listening to the show, and I heard Judy really talk about her experience yesterday. And I can say that really honestly, in very different words in her own, it's very much about where I have been since Pentecost, the way she described it. Don't think that, it's just her. Other people can achieve this. And she put it in very different words than I did, but it's a very similar place to where I feel like I've been since then. Mm-hmm. So, don't give up.
I like
and hold
Judy
on to that.
I like how Judy's, put herself in the. She's trusting God for the rapture and not have to go back to work. He told her that.
Right.
I mean, I just love that. I listened to that last night. I thought, that's what it is. Yeah. She's like, Lord, this is what I heard from you. I'm standing on it. I'm not going to let go of this. So, you know, I'm counting on you. That's the real, that's the faith position when your back's against the wall and you're like, okay, Lord, now it's your game here. You said it, now let's do it, you know. But I love how she's doing that, you know.
Great
confidence. A lot of people don't really necessarily have, I've learned a lot about faith. I could write a dozen books about it at this point, let me tell you. But I've learned that a lot of people don't really have faith that they think they have. And a lot of people just feel like, well, you know, I'll just go figure it out myself. You know what I mean? And you can. You can just kind of go work another job. You can kind of figure out some things yourself. But sometimes, especially with the RCC people, you know, you go in a position where the enemy is attacking and your back's against the wall and there's no way out. So you do have to have faith. And I've seen a lot of faith in the RCC where they've literally said, okay, Lord, you know, I'm going to have faith. And that's what Judy's doing. She's just like,
right,
this is it. You know, you told me this. I believe you. So faith is like, to me, faith is expectation. It's expecting God to do what he says he's going to do and not doubting it and holding him to his word. That's what faith is. And everyone's doing that right now. And I love when I see faith in RCC and people in the chat room and I talk to them on Facebook. I love when I see that faith. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
And God goes through, you know.
I did a little message a while ago about taking out the knots because our faith walk is a lot like a walk on a tightrope. And, you know, it's a narrow walk and sometimes without a net. It seems to be without a net, but he's our net.
Mm.
And so we don't see the net, but he's there. And then when we take that out and take the knots out of our walk, and that's what she did. And, you know, she took a step out into that air space.
Oh, yeah.
Like a Bugs Bunny commercial, but God met her there, or a Bugs Bunny cartoon. But God met her there, and that's really
Wabbit.
Kind of, yeah, Wesley Wabbit. we actually have a Wabbit, by the way.
We saw the rapture.
Yeah, that's right.
God to meet her.
Mine's in a cage, so I haven't seen any unusual ones in the yard.
So. We still have to get raptured for God to meet the requirement for the rapture. So she's still holding
happening.
On. She's still walking the tightrope.
Oh, yeah.
We all are.
Definitely happened.
We all are.
We're behind her. We're behind her on the tightrope.
Yeah. I want to mention that Leah's on the phone. Leah, hello.
Oh, great.
Are you there?
Hi, honey.
Love you, Leah.
Hello.
Hi, sweetie.
Hey,
hello.
How you doing?
Hi.
I'm good. How are you guys?
Okay. Anna.
Love you, Leah.
We're good.
Love you guys, too.
Yeah. Have any? A lot of times, Leah, you like to be kind of quiet, so I'm just going to ask you if there's anything you'd like to say, but otherwise, we're very happy to have you.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Usually when I do, I let you know, but I don't have anything.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Okay.
She'll give us a full sermon later, a couple hours or something.
Yeah.
Thanks, Leah.
Yeah. When she lets go, she's going to have so much saved up. It's going to be amazing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Super.
So Judy, you know, reached out, and that's what it was for me on Pentecost. Was, you know, I really very. In a very concerted way, I stepped out and reached out to him to embrace basically the entire notion of today, and he met me there, and I have been in a very similar place ever since, and there have been one or two challenges, come up in the course of daily events, but I have never, at the worst of those moments, I have never lost the overall confidence that I have, my total background now is confidence. It's like its own foundation, and it's really never gone away. So he's doing things, and my days lately have become unbelievable. I've had days where there was so much going on, and he was opening so many things to me, and your messages or experiences and what have you, that it really is almost impossible to keep track of them all. I'm glad he backed off a little bit today because probably so that my brain wouldn't be scrambled when I tried to do the show. Because really, seriously, it's just been, I'll go over some of that in a little while, but it's just been amazing. And he also I assume some of the people, if not everybody out there, knows what a functioning alcoholic is. It's somebody who's basically always inebriated, but they're so used to it that they can actually function in daily life. Most people around
I've
them don't know
many.
It.
I've lived with many.
I realize that I'm a functioning hammerholic.
right.
because what I realized that, you know, over maybe the last couple of years or more, he's just been slowly building up his
mm-hmm.
presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit in me. And
mm-hmm.
I could tell something was different, and I just felt like it was, me being somewhat separated from the world. But I knew
mm-hmm.
that there was, you know, so it became just a normal part of my existence. And sometimes I thought I was losing it a little bit. And sometimes I thought it was a little goofier than necessary. But but as what I've come to realize now is, especially over the last few weeks, is the presence of the Holy Spirit has really increased and grown in me. I'm realizing how far back this feeling goes. Now that it's sort of so big that I never really get away from it, now I'm realizing it goes back a lot farther than I realized. And so, you know, I'm trying to initiate a new term. I know there's some of us, I know Pat, Carol, and several of us are sort of, I think we're functioning hammerholics. We're so used to being, you know, sometimes the power, his power with us is stronger,
mm-hmm.
at least in my case, than I realize
mm-hmm.
a lot of times in a given moment, because
mm-hmm.
he just has slowly and progressively introduced it and increased it. And I'm not
mm-hmm.
saying, you know, anything great about myself. He can do this and probably has done it.
Anybody.
Yeah, yeah. And but I'm just realizing that there was more of it there than for most of the time I was aware of.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if some of you out there who think maybe, you know, you're not really feeling it or what have you, think back and, you know, think back when your perspective has changed. And, you know, consider whether maybe God's been working with you and sending you messages or giving you experiences that maybe you haven't realized were quite so inspired. And I think don't be discouraged. Look for where your blessings may be hidden because, you know, this aspect of it was – it wasn't hidden in me. I just didn't recognize it for a long time, you know, exactly what it was and what its nature was. So, you know, it's, you know, he's out there, he's doing things, and it's,
he's there.
It's a hold on. So I had one little story I was going to tell sort of to start off with. A couple of days ago when I was on the, when I was on the show, I claimed Elijah and Enoch as my two witnesses for our group, and Carol did a nice study about Elijah and Enoch, and which she talked about at one point, and Enoch being a model for our translation ahead of the rapture, and then I told about how on that day, you know, there was a fire truck across the street of my house in the afternoon, and then not too long after that, a thunderstorm rolled in, and a very unusual, strong, persistent wind came at the head of the thunderstorm, more than normal, and then there was a lightning bolt that hit very near our house, and literally, you know, everything shook, and there was a loud bang. So I said that was like my Elijah experience, like Elijah had when he was in the cave. And so yesterday, what I didn't get to tell you was, in the afternoon, at about the same time, another storm rolled through my area, and literally a funnel cloud, which was still on the radar, went right over my house. Well, what's a funnel cloud?
Oh, my gosh.
It's a whirlwind. So
where are you?
I'm in Indianapolis.
Okay.
Area, and and, you know, there was a little bit of damage fairly far to the south of me, but,
wow.
But, you know, there were tornado warnings and all that. And, and so on. So I thought I would read just a few verses out of 2 Kings, chapter 2. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel." Bethel means house of God. But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know what the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied. "So be quiet." Then Elisha said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elijah and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "so be quiet." So then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Jordan, to the Jordan, the river." And he replied, "As sure as the Lord lives and you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. And 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at the distance facing in the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Okay, so then he takes off his cloak and so on. The thing here that I noticed when I looked at this was obviously the whirlwind because of what happened to me yesterday or in my area, but also because I noticed here he goes to Bethel, and the prophets at Bethel already know Elijah is going to be taken on that day. And then he goes to Jericho, and the prophets already know that he's going to be taken on that day. So this was quite the interesting day because, there must have been something really, the God could have just sent the message to them directly, and maybe he did. There was something pretty special about that day for all of these prophets in these different locations to be tuned in.
No.
So I thought that was.
Does it say, Jerry, does it say in there how they knew or no?
It does not say. It just says they knew, and it was on a given day.
So God told all these, that's exciting.
The reason I got into that Elijah thing the other day was because the very day before, God had just been playing this song in my mind about Elijah, which is about, going up in a chariot of fire, basically, is the song. But then I had that experience, and I'm like, well, that's why he was playing this song for me, because there was a fire truck, and then there was a great big wind, which was out of the ordinary even for a thunderstorm, and then there was lightning struck closer than normal to the house. And then today, or the next day, literally a whirlwind went right over us. And I'm thinking, okay, this is one small part of what my last couple of days have been like. And
I think that's an interesting message, though. I think that message is interesting because if God told them when he was going to be raptured, you could take that as God would let his people know. I mean, why would God put that in the Bible about them knowing when he was going to be taken up?
I know, that's very unusual.
I mean, he could have had it, it could have been on any other story in the Bible. That one could have just been skipped. For some reason, he put it on the fact that, that's a huge deal, the rapture. If that person, and then Elijah, whatever. And then to clearly know, it's interesting to me,
Yeah.
If it was the people that knew. He didn't even know himself, but the people knew. It would be like God's children knowing,
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and he was so calm about
and,
it. He was so calm about it.
Yeah, you're right, Pat. Yeah.
Yeah. It totally fits with everything else. I've got something else for a little bit later that is more in depth, and it's certainly been blowing my mind. And I needed an opportunity where I could kind of talk everybody through it. And it, by the way, Keith, it does connect with the red heifer. So. I'll get back to that. There was one thing I saw yesterday morning that was a confirmation of what I think I've seen connecting our fearless leader with with the 2300-day timeline in Daniel.
Oh, cool.
Which ends if it was let's just put it this way. It was a total confirmation of connecting him with the end time. What the news item was circulated. Paul Begley did a story on it, and he did it out of True News or somewhere. But they have announced they're taking bids from architects to build the first announced one religion mosque and synagogue and church, one building, and they're doing it in Berlin. And they're just taking bids right now, and they're calling it a center for one religion, but the actual official name is the Center for One. Center for One. Well, when Obama was campaigning, how did Oprah announce, what did she say about him? He's the one. And this building is going to be on the southern end of the same island in Berlin. It's going to be in an old church foundation, and it's going to be in the same island as the opposite island in Berlin that the seat of Pergamon is, which Obama made a very specific part of his campaigning and also his other visits to Berlin. And no other world leader is connected to Berlin the way he is, not even close. And so that fit perfectly with what God showed me a couple of years ago about his visit there in that area on what was supposed to be a D-Day celebration in June of 2009, and which is when I believe his 2300 days started. And if you go, the Daniel 2300 days, and if you go, which is chapter 8, by the way, you go 2300 days from that day, you end up at September 23rd, 2015, which several other people have, Yom Kippur. And several other people have that as a very significant date.
Yes, they do.
So I got that, and then almost at exactly the same time, I got a confirmation on the thing that's got my focus on Saturday, which I'll describe in a little while.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I have a few things to share, but I wanted to give everybody a chance to kind of talk. Does anybody else have anything that was that they're led to share at the moment?
Go ahead, yeah. Pat.
No, just the one from the message from the Lord. It's from June 25th.
Yeah, read
it. Just real short. He says, "Children of my divine heart, I am the great I am. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Rejoice. I stand before you in glory. I desire to abide in you. Open your hearts to me. Surrender. Give me permission to work in you. I invite you to serve in all humility. I invite you to draw near to me and to listen to my voice. My little ones, you know my voice. Do not pretend that I have abandoned you. Do not spread this lie. I live for you. I have sacrificed all things for you. I have sent you my Holy Spirit, my Spirit of love. Yet you turn your backs to me and refuse to acknowledge my very existence. Beloved, do not be fooled. I am. Satan has deceived the masses. Satan has deceived many of my own sons and daughters. I now restore what Satan has stolen from those I love. I will restore all things unto them as soon as they repent of their wrongdoings. Hear me, trust in me, do not listen to those lies. Speak the truth, it will set you free. Count on me to raise you to holiness in time. Accept my guidance and follow my instructions. Heed my warnings. Beloved, obey. I leave you my kiss of peace. Shalom." That's from Jesus.
That's awful.
Yeah.
I mean, that's great. Sorry.
Yeah,
like I say, I've been yesterday, some of the stuff he was giving me, I was actually driving in the middle of a rainstorm, and I almost wasn't functioning. When I got out of the car, I could hardly hold a conversation. really been hammered, and it's all good, you know, it's all good. But sometimes, you know, he's, you know, there's no fewer than two or three thoughts going through my mind at any time, and and trying to process all these things and keep them aligned. I mean, I understand why Jonathan Kleck is taking pictures of everything he sees now, because there's just no way. There's no way to keep track of it all, and at least for me.
I've had this for over 50 years, so I'm laughing as you're talking along, because I know exactly what you're talking about, being that I'm going to be 71. Yeah, I know that I know.
Thanks.
I mean, I can't even put it into words. There's things I haven't told you guys that I don't even know how I could tell you, because you'd fall off the chair and end up in China if I told you things with the Lord and me. You would just die. You wouldn't believe me. You'd say, no, you're making that up. No, I'm not. Not when you
know
50 years of him. So I...
thank you, Pat, because I think what I'm going to do is play a song, and basically I'm going to sort of dedicate this to our Lord and also our RCC family.
Sure.
It's very clear, I love this year to stay. Not for all year, but ever and a day. Oh, the radio and the telephone movies that we know may just be passing fancies, and then time may go. But, oh, my dear, our love is here to stay. Together we're going on a long, long way. In time the rockets may crumble, Gibraltar may tumble, they only made of clay. But our love is here.
Is it ever clear our love is here to stay? Not for a year, but ever and a day. The radio and the telephone and the movie just be passing fancies, and in time may go. But oh, my dear, our love is here to stay. Together we're going a long, long way. In time the Rockies may Gibraltar may tumble, they're only made of clay, but our love is here to stay.
Our love.
Okay, our love is here to stay. And it's going to go with us, too, very soon.
Yes. Love is what
comes with us. This is one of these things that is a whole string of experiences, and I have to kind of go through everything. You'll totally get it, but I kind of have to sort of explain it every step of the way, so I'll do my best here. I don't know, 3 days ago maybe, right after the show, we had that great show, Really Anointed. And after the show, I was in chat, and this must have been Saturday. This was the Saturday show, and I was in chat after the show for a while, and Carol started typing some things and putting them in chat, and one of the posts that she made started with the word time, and as soon as I read that word, the Holy Spirit really zapped me. It was like, you know, big shock. And I was like, whoa. And I wasn't sure what to make of it at the time. But I've, since Pentecost, I've been looking sort of at 7-day time sequences. And I was sort of looking towards both the 14th and then the 28th. Because, you know, you have this overnight thing between days to start with. So like the 7th and the 8th and then the 14th and the 28th. But he really zapped me when Carol wrote this word time. I said, well, wow, what does that mean? Does he mean it's time? You know, is he trying to say that or what's that all about? Well, I wasn't sure how to take it. It seemed like an encouragement. But, sorry, I'm making a note so I have to remember something. But the next morning, my daughter is, my older daughter who's does some performing, is with a group of people right now, and they are putting a show together, which is going to be on the 28th in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And so they get together, and the people who are leading it have selected the, who aren't the performers, select the themes, and then when everybody gets together, they start telling people, you know, what they're going to do. They come with a couple of pieces prepared, but mostly what they do by the time they get to the Saturday show is things that they work on over that period of time. And so it just turns out they've got Sunday mornings off. So we went over Sunday and had breakfast with her and one of the other people that we know that's participating. And she ends up sitting right next to me. And each Saturday show has a theme. And it can be holidays or, you know, whatever. And a lot of it's sort of Broadway review-like. And she's sitting there, and very early in our conversation, somebody asks, well, what's the theme for the show this year? And she says, time.
Wow.
So I half about fell out of my chair right then because instantly
yeah.
I knew that there was something in this. And she's talented, and so, well, what numbers are you going to sing? And she said, well, I'm going to sing from West Side Story tonight. And
yeah.
Then she didn't say it this way, but I had a pretty good idea if she'd be closing the show, and we were able last night to confirm that. She's going to be singing the song from the movie Frozen, which I'm going to try to, for the first time in forever.
Wow.
So
there you go.
The person who said the theme of the show was time I was going to sing the songs tonight and then later to close the show for the first time and forever.
Amazing.
So,
he plays games with you.
Oh, totally. Totally.
Yeah, plural.
And it went on, of course. And then last night we found out that she's going to actually got another number, and she's going to start the show too. And it's going to be the song from Casablanca, As Time Goes By.
Time Goes By. Yeah, I know it. Yep.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yep.
And so if that wasn't, I mean, there's no question in my mind. I also had another experience I didn't even remember the specifics of, but shortly after that chat thing with the word time, I looked up a scripture, and the third word in the scripture was time. I mean, I had no idea when I looked it up. I was looking it up for completely different reasons. So I just knew, okay, so now the other thing about that is it's on a Saturday, so that's the Jewish Sabbath. And Keith had been really interested in having me pursue something the Sabbath, and I could tell the way he was saying it that I knew there was something in it. I just hadn't gotten to it yet. And about the red heifer. Actually, he wasn't asking about the Sabbath. He was asking about the red heifer. But so I look up the Sabbath, and God has been having me sort of keep track of the Sabbath readings that are scheduled for each Sabbath Saturday, for about a year. And so Keith was just pressing me, and then that evening I look up what the readings are for that Sabbath, and oh, guess what? It's the reading, it's the scripture in Numbers about the red heifer.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Oh, my God.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's the specific scripture about the red heifer.
Yeah.
Now, on top of that, I can add that this something that is in my experience and knowledge base that I can't, say you can prove in scripture, but you should know that in my context, on the Julian calendar, that day is the day I believe Jesus was born. Which, if that is correct, and then I already explained that the red heifer is directly tied to Jesus as a sacrifice. So I can explain that just a little bit. If you look in the Gospels where Gabriel comes to Mary,
right,
it says it was in the sixth month. I believe a lot of people say, oh, Jesus was born on, Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah. Well, okay, that makes sense. But in Hebrew tradition and in the old days, they were more concerned about day of conception, especially in terms of the Hebrew faith. The day of conception was a bigger deal. And birthdays were not, they weren't as interested in those, I think, at least from what I understand. I believe Jesus was conceived on Rosh Hashanah. And he took me over really 3 years, but then kind of doubled down on it last spring a year ago, by really, really studying the planets and their positions and the different possible meanings. And he gave me a whole bunch of meanings on different days of the positions of the planets. And I've never felt led to really share that for a variety of reasons, and I still don't right now. But what I can say is that if he was conceived on Rosh Hashanah,
which is
September, trumpets, basically. Okay. Well, Rosh Hashanah is the first day, is the first day of the seventh month in the Hebrew calendar. Depends on what year it is, from our calendar's perspective, yeah, exactly. Well, in the year that I believe he was born, which was 1 BC, in my leading. It just so happens that the calendar, the dates in the calendar, as you can reference back, which I believe will match the Julian calendar, even the Gregorian at that point, but I'm not, anyway, it goes back, and that day is in June that year, which also is their month Tammuz. And the month of Tammuz begins on the 29th of our current calendar month. That's unusual. Normally, Tammuz is more aligned with July. But they have a the day of Tammuz is a day that they have that they hold sacred and recognize. And there's not a lot of explanation for why they are they have this day they're supposed to recognize, and they're not entirely sure why. So they have these guesses that they talk about. But I believe it is either the day that Jesus was born, or even more likely the day that he was circumcised and became fully by law a Hebrew, son of the nation. Well, Psalm Tammuz this year is July 15th, but in my perspective, on the Julian calendar, which God told Judy's son was one to kind of watch, that day is the 28th.
Wow.
So he has taken me and shown me many different things to point my attention to the 28th.
Okay.
In addition to that, I said the other day that he gave me a word and that he basically displayed sort of an image in my face and said, I am conducting a marriage today. Well, I believe, you know, we've talked about how the word today can mean more like an age or a period of time as well as a specific day by our understanding. He's now led me to believe that that statement that he gave me is connected to what he's showing me about June 28th.
Wow. That's a lot of
connection there. Yeah. And that's why I wanted to take some time to kind of talk through step by step, because it's one of those things, if you don't live it, it's a little bit harder to explain to somebody. But I can only tell you that, you know, I was so hammered, you know, I really almost wasn't functioning when all of these things started to pile up and connect.
Yeah.
In the middle of, and I can even tell you, I watched a video that morning, the same morning, that next morning. I guess this would have been the next morning. It's 3 days in a row. So I had time from Carol that I got buzzed on. Then the next day, I went to breakfast, and the theme of the show is time with these other connections and song names. Then then the next day, I try to look at, some of you I think know Anna 777 AEJ, and she does some videos, and I trust the things that she comes in. She's hard to follow if you haven't followed her for a while. Just tuning in, it's like in the middle of a technical talk, that, you know, if you right now. But some of the things and the ways that he shows her things is very similar to the way he's shown me things in word studies and other things. So I totally get it. And I will read you the video she put up was titled Puzzle Fits Together Now - Time Draws Near.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
From the middle of the video on, I'm going to read you some of the phrases that she utters right in the middle of all these other experiences I'm getting about this word time. Days turn to hours. We always look at the sun because we're looking at the Son of God. And so that's like half and half. We always look at the sun, so we have insight and discernment, and we don't look at the darkness. So the day is composed of half light and half dark, and we're always looking at the light. Something happening with time, she says. Father Time sits at the feet of the woman giving birth, she says. Time runs out, sudden destruction, she says. Water bursts out, she says. Tick, 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 3 weeks, 3 days of the bridge crossing over. Mm-hmm. So from all these different directions, I was being bombarded, including with the information about this one world thing and all that. And so I was really reeling. And all I can tell you is that in addition to trying to explain it, he is really, really, really pointing out how important this time period is. And keeping in mind that June 28th, or maybe later that night, you could even argue June 29th, it is 21 days, basically, after Pentecost. Mm. Well, I will just fill in the hopper there. Of course, her YouTube name starts with 777, and then I caught some of Jonathan Cluck's show last night. Todd called in, and he really sounded a lot like us, to tell you the truth. Mm. And I've never heard him quite sound that way, and that was great. And Jonathan Cluck has been having this experience with 777 over the last couple of days as a double exclamation point on everything else he's been experiencing. Well, you know, 777 is, you know, it can be completion, it can be a lot of things. But another thing it is it can be 7 days, 7 days, and 7 days, which total to 21 days. So he has me on, it is today, but he has me, oh, yeah, and then I just see Michelle put in chat, I just started looking at chat again, that 7-7 is also July 7th, too. And
right.
This is part actually relates to what Todd mentioned, because Ann Graham Watts has sent out an email calling people at a time of prayer and fasting from the 1st of July to the 7th of July with very end-time scriptures and messages, which she says she got directly from God, and she's doing it privately, and she says anybody can copy it, and there's no organization, no nothing associated with, but basically she says it's prayer to save a nation. So does that phrase sound interesting compared, because this is what God told Judy somehow that we were doing. Well, okay. So should I take a breath now, or are people tired of hearing? Or
oh, no. I just wanted to tell you, one of my most favorite songs that I sing to the Lord is from Johnny Mathis, and it's called Hands of Time. One of my most favorite. Gosh. Yes. I have to learn it. Maybe I'll sing it for you guys.
You have to sing that for us. I love Johnny Mathis.
Yes, yeah. I will make an effort to do that, and I'll work on it tonight. It's the word that will make you cry, holding the hands of time.
Wow.
Oh, it's so gorgeous. Kate,
that's
I have
cool,
your email. All right. Jerry, I don't have your email, so I asked Judy to send it to you. Keith, I'm sending it to you also. I'm going to
send
you Hands of Time, okay? And
yeah,
you've listened to the word, and
super.
This is what I sing to him.
Oh,
this is
cool,
what
God.
I sing to him. And when you hear the word, you're going to go, whoa.
I'm so glad you said
that. I like
that
song by Johnny Mathis. I think it's Roberta Flack, Johnny Mathis, Where is the Love? Yeah, it's one of my favorite songs, too.
Oh, that's
I'm
sweet.
So glad.
Where's your love? Yeah. There's
I'm
a lot.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because it reminds me of something else about the songs that my daughter is going to sing. I looked them up, and I can. I'm not a lover of West Side Story, but in my recollection, there was one song in it that I thought was actually good, and it happens to be this song tonight that she's going to sing.
Oh yeah,
so
there is no Morning Star.
And if you look at the lyrics of that song,
yes,
it's also amazing, just like you're saying.
Yeah.
So I would encourage people to look up the lyrics of that song, which you'll be singing. Now, I happen
maybe you can sing it for us, Jerry.
No. You don't want any part of that. And
Maria.
You don't want. Yeah. When I get to heaven, maybe I will. But until then, I will save everyone's eardrums. But he'll make me write when I get up there, and then we can all sing it together or something.
Okay.
But
as you stand in the back.
Yeah. And so yeah, maybe that too. Yeah, yeah. I'll just watermelon. Oh, now the horses.
Oh my gosh.
Well, Pat, I want you to sing that song sometime too, that Johnny Mathis won sometime.
Yes, I will. Yeah. I will promise you. I'll learn it tonight because that's what I'm used
Please.
To doing. Because when I have to sing and stuff for other people,
okay.
So I will do that tonight. I will sing it tomorrow if we're still here. I will sing The Hands of Time. Pray I don't cry. Yeah, because it's very, very tender.
Oh
well,
and you
know
have
what?
To picture me standing
Pat,
with Jesus and holding his hands when I sing this.
Whatever you do, we love hearing it. Whatever
okay,
you do, we love
okay.
it out there. Yeah.
I
so,
will learn it.
Okay. So great point about the lyrics, because really I do encourage people, look up the lyrics to this song tonight, and then she's going to be, we believe, closing the show with the song In the First Time for Forever. It's from this animated movie from Disney called Frozen.
Oh, yes, right. It's beautiful.
But the last song is going to be For the First Time in Forever, to the best of our understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
So now I should move on and explain the other reason why I was so hammered yesterday evening. Mm-hmm. And it relates partly to what you're saying in the clouds. I said I had a dream where I was in an airplane. Well, a while ago we were talking about, the various different people who had their comeback dreams, you know, whether you 144K, comeback, whatever. And I thought about it, and actually I talked to Judy one time, and she asked, and I'm like, well, it kind of maybe, but the dream that I'm thinking of was like 20 years ago. And then last night before last, I was actually at my parents and I was talking to them and talking a little bit about the times and some of the things that I was actually experiencing. And this other dream that I had came to mind, which I know was from God. And I was really impressed in the spirit to talk very definitively about what I experienced in that dream was definitely going to happen.
Uh-huh.
And that I knew it was from him. And I knew it was from him. It really caught my attention. And it was funny because I can remember this dream like it was, you know, immediately, but in the context, I didn't have it in the context in my mind that's what it was. So So that brought it back to my mind, and then I really, really was like sort of in the back of my mind. And then I'm going through these other things yesterday, and I had another day, you know, sort of finishing up the things about Elijah and Enoch. And, oh, by the way, happy Enoch Day, everybody.
Yes.
Enoch means – I don't know if Carol mentioned this when she talked about it, but the name Enoch means dedicated. And it's a perfect name for us because we are dedicated to him in a very conscious and out on the tightrope kind of way. So happy Enoch Day, everybody.
Right.
So my day's winding up, and I'm starting to get busier with trying to pick up some people and do transportation, and it's raining, and I'm driving and going somewhere that I know where to go, but I'm sort of adapting to how traffic is and all of that. And then instantly he puts into my mind, almost once again, with like this sort of semi-vision of his face. He's like, you know, like right there kind of in my face, and he's going, that's your comeback dream. Okay, so let me explain what this dream was. I had a dream that was so lifelike. It's just one of these dreams, I know for sure it was from him, and many of you totally get that.
Mm-hmm.
I was on a private aircraft with a former Speaker of the House who's still in politics and several other high government leaders. And I was given a direct understanding that the situation was these people were on this private aircraft and were literally fleeing Washington, D.C. because martial law had just been instituted. And these people were in a panic and in total shock and were discussing amongst themselves what they were to do. And somehow I was on this airplane as a person. And after they discussed things for a while, I started speaking. And I was totally evangelizing and proselytizing and basically saying, this is what you need to do to fix this situation, and this is what you need to do to save yourselves. And the feeling of sincerity and love was so deep that after that dream was over, I woke up and I still felt it to the depth of my soul. I felt that incredibly deep power of love and sincerity, that, and you know, how deeply I was trying to express to them. I'm not sure what happened after that, but I was so consumed with that when I woke up. It was just everywhere. And I had what to me was a funny thought, because I'm like, why in the world did I care so much about saving those particular people's sorry backsides? because there had been so much a part of what has come to pass. And of course, it's the love of God, and it's, you know, my deeper heart for them and the country, or whatever's going to be left of it. But somehow or other, he let me know yesterday that that's my comeback dream. So I had sort of set it aside because I thought, well, as deeply as I felt that and everything that was involved with it, that's never going to happen. I'm never going to get on a plane with those people. But in fact, I would never want to in the worldly sense. But they were in total shock. And this was one of the messages, the sideline messages to me, was these people, even though they've been very instrumental in everything that's gotten to this point, when everything really comes down, they're going to be in shock about how bad it is. And a lot of these people who have sold themselves out for a secret, you know, get out of tribulation free card in a bunker are going to have a giant shock when basically they're locked out of the place that they've sold everyone else out to get into. And so I'm not saying I'm anything special, but he really laid it on my heart that dream I had, and that dream was probably, I don't know, 2 years ago maybe, year and a half, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have the slightest idea that's what it was. But yesterday he made it very clear to me that that's what it was. And I can't tell you how it worked out or anything like that, because it was basically I gave a message, and that was the point at which my dream ended. So I'm not sure what happened. But I do, he made it explicitly clear exactly what was happening there. So when, you know, God's telling Judy we're saving a nation, believe me, everybody involved is doing something that's fundamentally important. But, you know, somehow or other, he gave me this experience, I guess, to put an exclamation point on it. Because, and I can tell you that just in general, you know, I have had, until I understood how messed up things really were, I did grow up with a real deep love for this country, and I still have a deep and passionate love for all the people, especially the godly people, who have made sacrifices and on the backs of whom all of the technology and all of these, you know, in many respects, stolen wealth have been put to dark purposes. And I just believe God is going to recognize that. I mean, all the work that the people of this nation have done to spread his message and to help people and to genuinely love on others, I don't think that's going to go unnoticed by him.
Yeah. Really don't. Something I read a long time ago, I'm just going to put it out there. Somebody, it was a spiritual reading, said it was revealed that if 2% of the people in the United States would just pray and be as God wants, he could save the whole nation. If 2% of the world would just pray, he could save the world. If he had that fervent prayer and praise and pleading, and it goes back to Sodom and Gomorrah, where if he could only have found 10, he would have saved the whole mess.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah. So he just needs fervent people who are completely his to do this. And he will give mercy to the majority because of the few who are really, really, really his. You know, I want to read something, just a paragraph from St. Faustina. And Jesus says, it should be of no concern to you how anyone else acts. You are to be my living reflection through love and mercy. And she answered him, but Lord, they take advantage of my goodness. And he said, that makes no difference, my daughter. That is no concern of yours. As for you, be always merciful toward other people and especially toward sinners. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, you know, either hot or, you know, either hot or cold, right? Not lukewarm.
No.
You know, people...
But even the cold ones are in trouble.
Well, you know, all these people working evil because they're seeking power and greed when they realize that there's a greater power and that basically the contest is pre-decided, a lot of those people are going to turn to God.
I believe that. When the fireballs come, they'll really turn to God. They'll cry out. They'll realize that they've been duped all along, and that God's the only answer. And if it takes fear, he'll use fear, and they will cry out. They'll be saved. God is terribly merciful. Terribly merciful.
Oh, yeah.
Just one sigh, and you're in. You know, one second of life. If you've been duped all your life, and you're dying, and you just say, Jesus, I've been duped, please have mercy on me. It's like the thief on the cross. There's no difference. You're sincere in your repentance, you won't go to hell.
Yeah. Well, you know, we talked about Job the other day, and God really led me to bring up that Job might have been the only really righteous man on earth, and maybe that's why he didn't wipe everything out right then.
But look at Noah. But, I mean,
he
started over. He started over with Noah. He didn't wipe everything out completely, you know.
Right.
Which was merciful. He could have just said, oh, the heck with the mankind. You know, I've had it. I'm sorry. He even said, I regret ever making you, you know. It's such a failure and a heartache to me. Like, why did I even bother, you know? But he saved the eight. Noah, his wife, and the sons and their wives. And here we are. And we're trying to do the same thing all over again, you know, pleading and begging with the God-man, who's the God-man now.
Yes.
Love has changed. Everything's changed, you know, since he's become human. So pay attention to him. Hold him. Hug him. He feels like we do. Give him consolation. Not, how can you console me, Lord? How can I console you? It's my turn. See how much you love me. I see your embrace on the cross. It's my turn to embrace you and let your tears fall in my heart. And let me take care of you. That's how we pray,
absolutely,
we praise, we plead, we stand in the gap, we holler, we rebuke the enemy, we tell other people. That's what we're supposed to do. And we do it because we're in love with him and because of what he did for us.
Yes. definitely.
Yeah, we owe.
So in the context that that message he gave me, I'm conducting a marriage today, I really believe he's applying it to our today, and also he's definitely connected it for me with these things that have pointed me to the end of the week. So I'm going to play a song here, and then Pat, when we come back, can you have Psalm 95?
I have it in front of me.
Okay, well, so we'll play the song right now.
My past behind.
95 has a strong message, and we'll have Pat go ahead and read it.
Okay.
Now.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger. They shall never enter my rest.
Amen. Pat, would you, very sobering, and it basically makes it very clear that we should make a choice. And
God is merciful,
him.
But he's also,
you know,
just.
If there's any hardness in someone's heart, they should, you know, pursue that, massage it, and try to get it turned towards him. Pat, would you read verse 7 again, please? 95:7.
Yeah. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Amen. We are. He is the good shepherd.
Oh, well, there's another line there, I think.
Okay. Today, if you hear his voice, then
yes,
it goes on to
today.
Eight. Today. If you hear his, I'm sorry.
Today, everybody.
There's a big space between it. I don't know why they did that. Today, if you hear his voice. Today. He's crying out through everybody today. He's crying out through
today.
Us. He's crying out through other prophets and seers and visionaries. I think of Asula. I think of Maria of Divine Mercy. I can name a handful. Ned DeHart. Everybody. He's crying out and waking people up, trying to wake them up. He leaves us free. But, you know, he's giving you every chance possible in his great mercy to get it together with him. And as he says, and he and I, in your greatest shortcomings, throw yourself into my arms. Don't wait to be pleased with yourself. Don't doubt me. Trust me. Just put yourself in my arms. I came to heal and restore. I know all about human nature. I came to heal and restore. So don't stay away from him, guys out there listening. He loves you. He wants you. He wants you now, and he wants you forever. So give God a chance, and don't be afraid. He's not carrying around a little black book. He's not going to throw your sins up in your face. He's going to forgive you. Just give him a sign. Just give him a look. Realize you've been duped by the enemy. The enemy's going to get you three basic ways. I don't exist. This is all a fairy tale. I'm like the tooth fairy and Santa Claus. Or if you come to my kingdom and follow me, I'm going to give you riches. He's going to punish you all the more for giving up the salvation that God died so horribly to give you. Three, he will use discouragement. He will use discouragement to get you. And fourth, as he said in Way of Divine Life, he says, if I only want to get a soul, I entice that soul to pride. That's how I fell, and I will not rest until the whole world is filled with pride and nobody loves God. So we know his tactics. Realize his tactics. Realize how he comes at you. Realize how he'll come at you from the loved ones around you, the people you work with, your family. He will use them to bring you down. Be ahead of the game with him. Realize what he does, and don't let it get to you. Don't give in to it, and just ask God. As Jesus said, the minute you realize that you've been the dupe of Satan, that's my word, just ask a drop of blood from my heart onto your soul, and listen to my voice. Listen to my voice.
Amen.
Don't listen to him.
Yep. Amen.
Okay. Yeah.
Keith, if you have some news items or other things you'd like to say, I think it's a good time for it. Give him a chance.
The news items? Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Let me get to my computer.
There's a bunch.
And Pat, while he's doing that,
yeah.
Can I ask you to look up 1 John chapter 4?
Okay.
I'll do that. We can do that a little later.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, let's see. Let's see. Syrian warships launch raid into Iraq. Iran sends in drones. So Syrian warplanes launch raids into Iraq. Wow, that's crazy.
Oh, it's nuts.
Iran sending in drones. So Iraq, wow.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Why is Syrian? That's weird. Syrian's going into Iraq? My gosh.
It's getting a mess.
Their own country, then that's they're going in there.
The whole Middle East is a
conflict. Oh, and it seems like it's ramping up more and more.
Oh, it is. We were told, we were warned it would be this way. Go ahead.
The U.S. economy shrank more than expected in quarter one. That's not good.
No.
Another sign of a recession.
Yellowstone.
Yellowstone coming off. I'm just surprised Syria is involved with Iraq when they've got their own problems. It's really what a mess.
Yeah.
Starbucks raises the gay pride over Seattle. ISIS attack on Turkey could force the U.S. response. ISIS has captured a number of small towns along the Iraqi-Turkey border and is threatening to take territory inside Turkey itself, which could force the U.S. to do something. Interesting. Government plans massive processing center for waves of illegal people getting over the border in Mexico. Let's see. I hope the war in the Middle East keeps ramping up. I don't want anything to go quiet this time. The Lord told me those troops are not going home. So
oh,
I'm like,
dear
okay.
God.
That pastor was kind of dethroned in the Methodist church because he married his son has a lover, so he married them. You know what I mean? Like, he was the priest, or, I mean, for the wedding, whatever. So he was reinstated, though, by the Methodists. So they're approving that. Gun control advocates push to take firearms from those accused of threatening violence. 1,000 Chinese jihadists training in Pakistan. Phil Robertson from the Duck Dynasty says, time to vote the ungodly bunch out of Washington. Well, that'll never happen. We'll be out of here first.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. must be global leader in promoting gay rights, Susan Rice says, for the U.S. Oh, Lord of mercy. Biden says gay rights take precedence over the culture. Gosh, crazy. Dubai stock market crashes. The Dubai stock market crashed today with the main index falling over 6.5% after being down 8% at one point. U.S. known plane bomb, ISIS positions in North Iraq. Okay. Unknown plane bombs, ISIS positions in North Iraq. Okay, and then that's it for today. There's not tons of stuff, but yeah, I hope it just keeps ramping up. Hope nothing calms down, because we've seen this before where everything gets crazy and they're going to push the button, we're all going to be nuked, and then everything gets quiet again.
There's
so
two more things there. Major earthquakes in Alaska affects Yellowstone volcano, super volcano. Reports of animals fleeing from the Yellowstone volcano. Yellowstone volcano is releasing helium forecast. And then buoy indicates 100-foot wave generated by 7.9 earthquake. That's from BP Earthwatch today. I haven't read that, but that's tsunami thing. I don't know where it's hitting. I haven't heard anything on the news.
Earthwatch was from yesterday. I mean, he might have made a video game or something. Yeah.
100-foot wave generated? Where is that going, you know?
Right. Well,
I know.
Crazy.
It would have been somewhere by now.
we haven't heard anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't read this article. I mean, there's nothing. No, there's nothing.
Yeah.
Unless you know. But anyway, want chapter 4?
I was going to say one thing, Keith.
Go ahead.
One of the things Keith mentioned brought a thought to mind, and I'm going to try to reconstruct it now. Keith mentioned that how, you know, voting the bad people out of the government it's not going to happen until after we're gone. And it brought to mind something that I observed. You know, a lot of times, you know, if you look at Scripture closely, you will see that God mocks the actions of the devil frequently. And they try to, they sort of take turns. But basically, God mocks the devil, and then the devil turns around and mocks us in our human condition. So
yeah.
He really, you know, it's not a balanced situation. And what came to my mind in that moment, he read and mentioned that, was that the comparison between Miriam, the wife of Moses, and Mary, the mother of Jesus.
Yeah.
Because both of those are the same name.
Yeah.
Miriam and Mary mean rebellion.
Bitterness.
So, and bitterness, yes. Bitterness, rebellion. And, but the root, I'm pretty sure, is rebellion. And so Miriam represented rebellion against the Jews from the population, the culture that she came from. So who did Jesus come through? He came through a young woman in order to overturn the devil's world.
Yeah.
He also came through a woman named Rebellion.
Yeah.
So it's going to take Jesus' rebellion, his work that turns these people out of office. It's going to be his work, and we're going to participate in that work, and Judy's gotten that word. And I could not believe when I realized what that dream he gave me, what it represented, when I finally realized it, because it was super clear in my mind, but I had no idea that it was going to have that, that it would play out and have that kind of meaning behind it. So, anyway, so yeah, Pat, now's a good time for some, or first John.
Okay, that's my daughter's name, Miriam. She was going to be named Heather, and someone said, no, you're going to call her Miriam. So my husband was surprised when he saw her in the place that her name was Miriam instead of Heather, you know. But that was, she was, God told someone I was going to have her a year before I conceived her, and he knew it was going to be a girl, and
wow.
Someone called, said, you call her Miriam after Our Lady. So there you go.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so that's a great blessing. Yeah, I was 42 when I had her. 42 when I had her. Wow.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Whoa. Anyway, Jesus talks with a Samaritan woman. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John.
Oh,
although,
what,
in fact, it...
Hey, Pat.
Yeah.
Pat,
yeah.
This is, I'm looking for 1 John.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
I have 1 John. Which
1 John chapter 4.
Yeah, I have 1 John. This is 1 John, and that's chapter 4. Then it's, chapter 3. Oh, wait, why is it, here's John 1, and then John the Baptist denies being in Christ, and then Jesus' first disciples, and then Jesus calls Philip and Nathaniel. Jesus changes water into wine.
You're in John. You're in John, not 1 John, I think.
Well, there's Luke, and then I just have John. The word became flesh.
No, these are the 1 John, the letters before Revelation, towards the back.
Oh, I...
So before Jude?
You're looking at something... We're looking at something else totally?
Just before Jude and Revelation, towards the back.
I'm sorry. We have to, okay, Philippians.
Yeah,
it's past... Titus, have Revelation, they have one, I see 2 Peter, let me go to, I see what you mean, just give me a sec.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'll give you a minute. That's
Is
fine.
It after, it's after
have,
Hebrews?
Actually, yeah, I just have a series
James.
Of things here.
James, Timothy, hold on. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yeah.
Thessalonians?
Back in there. Yeah. We're back
Colossians.
There.
Philippians.
We're back there.
Go back. Ephesians.
It's
a dummy do.
There is all the way back almost to Revelation.
Is it near Galatians?
Near Revelation.
Yeah,
it's
I got Revelations.
Yeah. And then just
What am I, two John? Oh,
that.
I see two John. Okay, yes, one John. I got it.
Yay.
Okay. Oh, stupid here. Okay.
That's
chapter
okay.
four. Test the spirits. Oh boy, glad you got that straightened out.
Dear friend, I think you're gonna like it. It'll
okay.
be worth it.
Okay. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. You should give a sermon on that. Well, either one of you guys, you do that perfectly.
Yeah, yeah.
Test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood, God's love and ours. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and one who fears is not made perfect in love. That's a lot of learning here. We love because it's so simple, isn't it? We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. But anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he... I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must love his brother. Okay,
amen.
That says everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Read that in Romans and you got it all.
Yeah.
I love Romans 12.
He's...
Oh, I love Romans 12. Romans 12.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's after us, and we need to be after him.
Absolutely.
So I'm gonna. This is a little bit different feed. It doesn't go along with the reading very well, but because of some things in chat, I'm going to send this out for Roman and a few of the others in chat.
Yeah. Jerry.
Yeah.
I have this on the Yellowstone supervolcano. I just could read you a few things, and if you go to NZ The Truth, it's June 23rd, and it's just some interesting little things to read as I scroll down, and it gives all the contact, in blue, the leads to these. If this might be interesting, if somebody wants to just look at this, it'll take about just 1.5 minutes to run down this. Because I think it's interesting.
Oh, yeah, great. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, we know that the earthquakes of magnitude 7.1 to 8.0 hit Alaska on 23rd. Moments later, it affected areas near Yellowstone supervolcano. After the major quake, Utah got hit by an earthquake of magnitude 3.6, and it affected the Yellowstone supervolcano. And then it's got here. I already told you that the gases and stuff. It says, increase of earthquakes near Yellowstone area. Landslides in Wyoming, even volcanoes on red alert in Idaho. And here's the link. So you can get all these links as you go to this. I'll give it again to you later, the word to go. It's just MEZ, M-Z, and then the word the truth. Okay. Cameras are shaking in Yellowstone volcano area. Watch this. That's the lead. All these things going on, are they signs Yellowstone is about to erupt? I watched a little while ago. This is very interesting, this paragraph. I watched a little while ago a movie based on scientific facts about Yellowstone volcano. I liked it, and it gives very important information how the USGS, they're trying to hide the facts about Yellowstone volcano and it's about to erupt, and how the government is trying to blackmail the USGS to stay silent. And here's the link for that. Idaho and Utah, an alert for Yellowstone eruption. Video of landslide which took place in Mount St. Helens supervolcano. Yellowstone supervolcano is an eruption starting, and then it gives leads, and then Yellowstone 10 earthquake sensors turned off, shut down, okay? Heads up alert, elevated Yellowstone activity on earthquake monitors. Picture from NASA eyes. Okay, I guess some of you have heard of this, the black heat spot over Yellowstone, so they have a link to this because that's acting up. It's getting hotter and hotter. RT moves Yellowstone evacuation story. Animals fleeing Yellowstone, and then there's three leads to that in blue, and proof Yellowstone earthquake swarm censored, and two areas in Yellowstone on orange alert twice in less than 2 weeks, and that's all the leads are on this video if you want to be interested in Yellowstone. So, yow. Huh. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
we got to be out of here. It's getting really serious. Yeah. If that baby goes, the whole world goes. I mean,
well, yeah, if that really
others.
Does.
Yeah.
If that really does go, there's so little understanding.
That's it. And that's going to set off other things. You know, there's at least 5 super volcanoes. It's not just Yellowstone. There's ones under the ocean. There's one by Indonesia. There's Krakatoa. There's at least 5 I know that are also in the world.
I think there's one in Europe too that's had some activity.
Yes, there is. Yes, I think.
I don't remember exactly where it is.
Yeah. And under the sea.
Yeah. I had a little mini study here. You know, there's this. God's kingdom. There's a verse that we mention a lot. This is the NIV version, John 18:36. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight and to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." And I wanted to look up my kingdom and see where that sort of how often that came up in Scripture, and I did, and it turns out that exact phrase, at least in the NIV, only shows up 10 times, and only three of them are in the New Testament, and one of them is actually at the beheading of John the Baptist from Herod. But in the Old Testament, almost all of them are actually human beings talking about their kingdoms. And then in the New Testament, there's 3, and there's one king who's talking about my kingdom, but then the other two are Jesus. The other one shows up in the NIV, Luke 22:30, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, this is Jesus speaking, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So I just thought that was a kind of an interesting comparison because basically the kings on earth are talking about their kingdom in the new, in the Old Testament. And then with the one exception of the three, you know, the my kingdom verses that we consider more often are about Jesus speaking about my kingdom, which is not of this world. So Jesus says, my kingdom's not of this world. And then in the Old Testament and one time in the New Testament, you have all these human kings saying, my kingdom, my kingdom, my kingdom, which, of course, is of this world. I just thought that was an interesting sort of juxtaposition.
What, when Jesus comes back for the 1,000 years, his kingdom will be on earth. It'll be an extension of the kingdom of heaven. That would be correct?
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to read a paragraph from, I read this last night, just a paragraph from he and I, which was very consoling. He said, the atmosphere of the world is so false that it is foreign to truth. So go deep into my domain of love and lock yourself in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I have a fun song here I kind of want to play. It's for fun.
It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. Fade without words, baby. It just ain't happening. One is your left hand, one is your right. It'll take two strong arms to hold on tight. Some bows have cut off the north, despite their fate. I think you need some words to show for your alleged faith. Well, there's a difference, you know, between having faith and playing make-believe. One will make you grow, the other one just make you sleep. Talk about it. But I really think you ought to take a leap off of the ship before you claim to walk on water. Faith without words, like a song you can't sing. It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. Faith comes from God, from every word that he breathes. He lets you take it through your heart so you can give it as a feast. Gotta be active if it's gonna be alive. You gotta put it into practice. Otherwise, it's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. Faith without words, baby, it just ain't happening. One is your right, one is your left. It's your light, your guide, your life, and your breath. The faith without words is like a song you can't sing. It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. Faith without words, like a song you can't sing. It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah, right. So this is partly in keeping with other messages that I've had and about the things that we know are coming on the world and are right in Revelation.
Oh,
so for all of you hopeful bunker dwellers out there, make sure your bunker doesn't have a screen door.
Amen.
Otherwise, there's only one door that's not a screen door, and that's our Savior and Pastor, Jesus Christ.
Amen. 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 Ain't going to work. Oh, that's cute.
Uh-uh.
I never heard that one. Boy, that was cute. Boy, oh boy.
So.
Ay. That was cute.
So anyway, thank you everybody, Keith and Pat and everybody out there.
Oh, sure.
And called in and everybody in chat.
I'll learn my song.
Yeah, love you. There you go. And
you'll like it.
We'll love it.
Stacey, oh, yes, you love the words.
All our guests out there.
And you just put yourself
in
my place,
Chris,
singing it to them.
Andre and
everybody.
Michelle.
Love you all.
Rosemary and Roman.
We'll be in the chat room.
Okay,
love
the Spirit of the Bride says,
come.
Soon,
oh, Jesus.
Now.
Come. Right now,
come,
Lord.
Jesus.
Right now.
Right away.
Oh,
we're waiting
right
now.
Yeah.
We're ready.
Yes.
We're looking.
We're ready. We're ready. We'll do anything you want. We're ready.
On our face, provided by you. Thank you,
oh,
Lord.
Oh, wow.
Thank
okay.
you.
We'll talk tomorrow night if we're here.
If we're here.
Yes, if.
Love you all.
Yes. Okay, love you all.
If.
Love you, chat. Love you, everybody. Okay, bye-bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.